visiting with us. Our theme is by faith. And we've been going through the stories in Hebrews chapter 11, which is sort of the Faith Hall of Fame. And so last week I started a series on Moses, and Moses gets several verses. Moses and Abraham are kind of the heroes and fathers of the Old Testament faith. You know, for any Jew, sort of the three big ones in the Old Testament would have been Abraham, Moses, and David. I mean, those would have been the guys that they looked to as the heroes of their faith. And so we get a lot of different verses about Moses' faith. Last week, we discussed really the faith of his parents. His parents decided to put him in a basket and save his life. And God rewarded their faith. And today, we're actually going to talk about Moses' faith. It's been a very fun week. You already heard Kenson and Shayla share. Our middle schoolers were out at a camping trip. And a lot of people went down yesterday, and Natasha wasn't feeling great, so we didn't go down yesterday, but Chloe is there and wanted to stay another night, so she's out there with Byron and Danielle Word and Jenna Costa and Jose Acosta and the whole crew, and saw a lot of pictures, saw some videos. They seem to be having a great time. Early this week, we had an intern retreat. For those of you that don't know, we've got some summer interns here at Cornerstone. So we've introduced them in bulletins and on Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and have them stand up. Three of the four of them are here today. If you go ahead and stand up, our interns, our summer interns, where are you? Stand up. There they are. So, oh, you can stay standing. You can stay standing. I want to point you out. Stay standing. Stay standing. On the left, we've got David Fields. He's going to be working with our Edge and Gravity Ministries this summer. He's a student at Georgia State University. And just a great, really, really great kid. So he's going to be working with our teens. That's David. In the middle, we've got Sarah Brooks. And Sarah's down here from South Carolina. She's originally from Columbia, but lives in Charleston right now. She's also going to be working with Gravity and Edge, with our young women in Gravity and Edge. And also not here, but who's going to be working with our Gravity and Edge ministries are Caroline Rigdon. Her parents are here. She's not here. And, you know, 5 days in the work, she's already skipping, so, you know, no. Her sister's getting married, and so they're having a bachelorette weekend for Gina Rose this weekend, so that's awesome. She's also going to be working with our young women in Gravity and Edge. And the last but not least, we've got Tyler Washington. And he's going to be our summer intern with our campus students. And so we've got a nice handful of campus students, those that are here all the time, and even some that are home for the summer. And so we're looking to really make that a cohesive group. And so I'm really looking forward to working with Tyler and with our campus students. So those are our interns. Give them a round of applause. Now, parents, you're going to be getting an email this week. We, just like we did last summer with our interns, one of the things we like to do is I'd love for them to have a meal in your house. You know, what better way to get to know somebody than over food, right? And so we're going to be sending out an email. Hopefully, you get a chance to have them in your home, particularly if you have a teenage student. We'd love for you to have them in your house, get to know them better, feed them. They will be eternally grateful. College students love to be fed. And so that's going to be great this summer. So that'll be going out this week. We also had our end of year party on Wednesday, which was a great time. And the end of the school year is pretty special for a lot of reasons. It's special, you know, for students because school's out for, there we go, right? It's special for teachers because if you'll go to the next slide, a lot of them are probably feeling a little bit like this. You know? Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? That is the end when the movie is at the end. And Frodo's like, it's over. It's done, you know. And so a lot of teachers might be feeling that this week, but it's so exciting. They get to have a break. I was a professor and a teacher before, so I totally understand. But I wanted to give a special shout out to a couple of teachers here. We've got several folks that are retiring this year. So Cindy Albert is retiring. I think her and her family are actually taking a vacation, so she's not here right now. Bob O'Keefe is also retiring this summer, so that's going to be great. Not him in June, maybe already up at the lake. But I want to recognize Doug Neiman. Doug, go ahead and stand on up, Doug. So Doug is retiring after 17 years as a teacher, a high school teacher teaching business classes. This was sort of a second career for him. But he said his time is not over. He's got some great stuff that he likes to do with health and some diet and weight products. And so he told me this morning, he said, I'm just transitioning from just teacher Doug to now I'm coach Doug. I'm going to be life coach Doug. And so we're excited for your brother, excited that you're going to have some more free time to serve at Cornerstone. You know, but really, really excited for you. So as we're talking about the end of the year, before being the evangelist here, I was a Spanish professor, and I'd been a high school teacher before that. And so always, this time of year is always nostalgic for me. I always start thinking, you know, what would I be doing right about now? And honestly, what I'd be doing right now is I'd be done, because college is in at the beginning of May. But at the end of the year, I always have a very long week because I got a great finals. So if you've been a teacher and you give finals, you got a great finals. And being a language professor, we didn't generally get to give multiple choice exams. So I know how kids love multiple choice exams, but in language, we didn't. We always try to give students an opportunity to earn points. Right? If you have to write things out and do short answer, you can always give them points in different scenarios. The other reason we don't generally give multiple choice finals in language, because if we did, it might end up like this, if you look at the next slide. You know, it's just, and maybe not even in language classes, maybe this is how you guys filled out some of your final exam scantrons, but it's very difficult to do a language multiple choice exam. A little insight for next year. For all you students out there. So on a multiple choice exam, you've got your four answers generally, and right off the bat, you know that two of them are completely wrong and bogus, right? You ever heard of the cut it down to 50%, your last two choices? And of your last two choices, there's usually a right answer, and then there's the one answer that is designed to represent the most common mistake, right? Yes, those evil teachers put a question answer in there, that's usually the one that most people get wrong in this way. And so I was thinking a lot about multiple choice exams and thinking about choice and life and the choices that we often make. And today what I wanted to talk about were three choices that Moses made. And what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the choices Moses made? Over in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, on the next slide, it says, years later, so last week we looked at Moses' birth, and him being turned over to Pharaoh's daughter and being raised by her. And in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, years later, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his own people and observed their forced labor. One of the amazing things about our Bible, one of the amazing things that I love is that, you know, in our faith, we've got both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so a lot of times there are things that happen in the Old Testament and maybe only are given a sentence, but often maybe explained in further detail in the New Testament. They're able to look back on the perspective, kind of like what Robert was talking about, to look back at the historical facts and give you some insight. Well, this is one of those verses. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, which is our next slide, it says this. This is our by faith verse of the day. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. Talk about three choices that Moses made today. The first was refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and his decision to suffer with the people of God. The second is his choosing to reject the fleeting pleasures of sin. And finally, his choosing to look ahead to his reward. Point number one, looking at Moses' life, I think it's vital for us to choose our relationships and to choose them wisely. When you look at Moses and look at his life, he actually gave up a lot when he decided to no longer be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up prestige. He gave up power. He gave up the rights that come with belonging to being the grandson of Pharaoh. And see, the interesting thing about Moses, and today I'm not going to keep you long. Our kids are in here, but I've got a few fun slides with some pictures and comic book characters and things like that. But the thing about Moses that we can get and understand from this story that Hebrews 11 clarifies for us is that Moses understood that it had to be one or the other. A lot like Robert was saying in his communion, that the things that we talk about with Jesus, either they're true and they happened, or they're not. There are a lot of things in life that there actually is gray area. And then there are some things in life, it's one or the other. It's either you've eliminated A and D, and it's either B or C. And students, you know, if you don't know what choice do you always pick, C, right? It's just, if you don't know, just guess and pick C. But it's always one or the other. It's always true or false. And Moses realized that he could either stay in the house of Pharaoh and live that life, or he could go and be with his people. It's one or the other. So when you think about your relationships, there's a verse over in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, bad company corrupts good character. It's sort of the Bible equivalent of, if you lay down with dogs, you don't wake up with fleas. Or birds of a feather flock together. That's the Bible equivalent of that. The people that you surround yourself with can influence your behavior. The friendships and relationships that you have can mold your worldview. You can be at a basketball court playing basketball with somebody, and they start telling you about secular humanism. Right? When you have teens over to your house for dinner, your kids are going to think they're cool. They're going to start wanting to model after them. What are your relationships like, and who are you surrounding yourself with? I always ask people, are your church friends your real friends? Because I know for me growing up, I had sort of my church friends. And when I went to church, I spoke in a lot of thou art and these and thine holy. You know, I used a certain language at church. I wore a certain set of clothes. I talked a certain way when I was at church. And I went to the church picnic and ate the food. But then after I left, I went and had fun with my real friends. You know, the people that I really, really wanted to hang out with. What are our relationships like? You know, when you look at Moses, he made a choice about who he wanted to be associated with. And it was a costly choice for him. Jesus himself said, if you love anyone more than me, you're not worthy of me. So our most important relationship needs to be with God, but other relationships can really impact how we do spirits. So I've been studying the Bible with this guy, and it's been going amazing. We've been studying for months now, but he's come to the conclusion that the church he's attending, they actually don't teach some things right doctrinally. And he realizes it, he sees it, he gets it. But he's just not ready to leave his church culture. He goes to his church mostly based on race. He wants to go to church where people look like him and talk like him. And so even though he's sort of seen the truth about God's word and what it says and what it means and really what church should be like, he's not ready to leave a place that he knows is wrong. It's about his relationships. Relationships are great, and God wants us to have great relationships with people, but not if those relationships come above him and his word. Amen? And so when you look at Moses and him deciding to choose to be with God's people, not an easy decision. Look at the next slide. Love Peanuts cartoons. You've got Lucy here. She says, ma'am, what kind of test are we having today? Multiple choice? And then, of course, the parent says, wah, 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 right? Good. I choose not to take it. Here's the thing. Indecision is a decision. You take that multiple choice test. If you just don't know and leave it blank, you're still going to get it wrong. Right? Indecision is a decision. Doing nothing is not an option. I got some great insight from Laurel this week. So we had our intern retreat, and so grateful to Tim and Laurel Kinsey. They allowed us to use their lake house for this intern retreat. And so Laurel was up there, and she was kind of our house mom. She was cooking our meals, and it was just such a great time. But she would also come and join in our devotionals. And we were talking about what our goals were for the summer. What would a successful summer look like? And Laurel came over, she said, you know, really, I think it's a lot like the parable of the talents. The only way the summer can be a failure, she was saying to the interns, is if you do nothing. You think about those talents, right? One guy went and he recreated more, you know, he went and he had five talents, he made five more. He had 10, he made 10 more. And God said, hey, what you've done with what I've given you, okay, you'll be rewarded for that. But the one guy that he's angry at, the master's angry at, is the guy that did nothing. So when it comes to our relationships, we do have to make choices about what our friendships and relationships are going to be like. We got to make choices, and, you know, we only have a limited amount of time each week. 168 hours or something like that, right? You know, who are you going to spend it with? I said this many times. Your family, that's your first mission field. Do you have time carved out for your family every day? When you come home, do you turn off the computer, turn off the phone, and spend time with your family? Do you have dinner with them? How are you choosing to spend those relationships? Do you take time each week to get with somebody and at least talk about something spiritual? Or is it all just sports, politics, and news? Do you take time in your relationships to invest in ones that really matter? Really interesting. Over in Acts chapter 7, it says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. It's so interesting because in the Old Testament, it just says when he was older. Moses was in Egypt from 3 months old or under Pharaoh's care from 3 months old to 40 years old. That was a long time and a lot of relationships. And whenever God moved in his heart and he decided to go and visit his own people, God moved him. He said, I've got to get out of Egypt. It's very interesting here. The word there that we translate decided, it means it came to his mind. So God obviously spoke to Moses and said, you need to go look at your people. And the word that he used for visit there is not like just going to visit a friend, but it means to select, to look out for or to care for. Think a doctor making a home visit. So Moses decided to go and look out for and care for his own people. God put it on his heart to go care for his own people. God has put it on our hearts through his spirit to care for his own people. How are we using our time and our relationships? Choose your relationships wisely. Over and again, back in Hebrews 11, we look at this verse. It said that Moses chose to be with the people of God. Think about the first century church. They were devoted to the fellowship. I want to give some encouragement and just clarification. You know, this past Wednesday, we had our end of year party. And I think that sometimes there can be a misconception because we have a bouncy house and a water slide that is just for the people with little kids. Here's the thing. I want all of us to come to things like that. No, if you're 60 years old, you don't have to get on the water slide to come have a good time. Or if you want to, well, I don't know, there's a weight limit. Somebody asked me that this past week. Is there a weight limit? But, you know, just being together. Maybe you don't have kids that can get on the slide. You know, Pam and Jim brought their grandkid. Or Jeff Lanier doesn't have any kids that are school age, but he just came to be an encouragement to see how he could serve, how he could be involved. We want, you know, when we have something, unless we say, hey, this is just a teen event, you know, we'd love for all of us to be here. I love seeing you guys. I love spending time with you guys. And this isn't to guilt you into coming to church. This is just about, I want to spend my time with the people of God. So, you know, we're going to have a blood drive. Let's come to the blood drive. You know, when we do summer serving, we have projects, we make sandwiches. Let's blow it out. Let's just be together trying to get closer to one another and get closer to God. Amen? The second point is, choose to deny yourself sin. You know, the thing about it is, you always have a choice. In Corinthians, it talks about no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Here's the thing. You always have a choice. In our daily decisions, hit the snooze button. Get up and spend some time with the Lord. You have a choice. Am I going to stay up late, watch some junk on TV, get myself into some trouble? Or am I going to go to bed when my family goes to bed? Am I going to choose to spread that rumor or half-truth that somebody told me? Or am I going to keep quiet? Am I going to choose to spend my money on cigarettes, alcohol, pornography? Or what am I going to choose to spend it on? You always have a choice. It's very interesting. When I was a college kid, a lot of times we study with people, and one thing that would always come up with college kids, Tyler, you're going to run into this. One of the things that always come up when we're studying with college kids is you'd be studying with somebody, and lots of time college kids are just, they've left their parents' house, and they have their own apartment, and they're just living with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And a lot of times, you know, when I'm studying with somebody and trying to help them make a decision to follow Jesus, you know, we'll start talking about these things. And so many times people say, well, I can't just leave. We pay bills together. We have this together. We built this life together. And I always ask them the following question. I say, if that boyfriend or girlfriend cheated on you, would you move out? How fast would you move out? How fast would it be over? And it's always like, yeah, pretty quickly. And so the point I'm trying to make is I would tell them, you'll make a radical decision based off of sin. Why won't you make a radical decision for righteousness? You always have a choice. It says God will always provide a way out for you. God will always provide a solution for you. And so when we look at Moses, Moses decided against enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Think about the comfort that Moses would have had. Man, you're talking about a grape diet. Moses could get grapes whenever he wanted. The best meat, the best ham, a relaxed life, cushy pillows, the food, the pleasures. Moses could have had all of these things. And whenever God put it in his mind to go care for his people, to go visit his people, he decided to give it up. Think about all that Moses gave up. He gave up being a prince to basically be a slave. You know, I appreciate Hassan Welch. A lot of you may or may not know Virgil and Tiffany's son. He's an actor. And really, really great story. Hassan had an opportunity to try out for and to get a role. And I won't say the show now, but let's just say if Hassan had taken that role, they would be multimillionaires. But in order for Hassan to take that role, the script required him to cuss all the time. And Hassan made the decision, this is not a role I can take. Amen. And again, we always have a choice. You always have a choice. I appreciate his conviction at 12 or 13 years old. You know, what about us in our individual lives? The last point is Moses chose to look ahead. Choosing to look ahead takes trust and understanding that God is always with you and you're going to be with him one day. And therefore, it's all worth it no matter what you're going to go through. I heard a story about a boy. His mother left the broom on the back porch and it gets dark and mom says, hey, son, can you go out and get the broom off the back porch? Pardon me. And he says, but mom, I'm afraid it's dark outside. He's afraid of the dark. And his mother says, that's all right. You know what? Jesus is with you. Jesus is out there. Jesus is everywhere. And so the little boy says, but I'm still afraid of the dark. He says, but Jesus will be with you. And so the boy goes, so you're saying Jesus is everywhere and he'll always be with me. And mom goes, yes. So the boy pushes the door slightly open, whispers out, hey, Jesus, can you pass me the broom? You know, here's the thing. We have fears and a lot of times they're real. We have a lot of things that in this life are right in front of our eyes. For that boy, it was the darkness. For us, it can be, how are we going to retire? It can be, you know, how am I going to make it? How can I really overcome this or that? Shouldn't I really just put in 80 hours at the work? Isn't that really the way to go, to put in 80 hours at the office each week? Isn't that really the way to save my family and provide for my family? And there's so many things that we can look at in front of us that can distract us from what's ahead. Moses chose to look at what's ahead. Back in Hebrews 11, at the end it says, he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. talking about treasures. Your money and how you choose to spend it says a lot about if you're looking ahead. How do we spend our money and wealth? Is it for things for the kingdom? So encouraged again. We had this intern retreat, and it wasn't just the Kinseys, but the Kirstings that also offered their place up for us to have it there. They both said, hey, we've got something. We'd like to use it for the kingdom. And they took their life group. They took the Hannah Life Group up there a couple of weeks ago to have kind of a life group retreat at the Kirstings property. You know, making decisions to use what God has given them for the kingdom. But here's the deal. You don't have to have a lake house to give to the kingdom. Think about this story. It actually kind of saddens me a lot. Back years ago when I lived in Missouri, I worked at a Christian school. And I had a particular student there. And one day we were talking about poverty and wealth and giving to the needy. And this boy comes up to me. He says, we were having this discussion. He tells me, he says, you know, my dad, when we're riding, if ever he sees somebody on the side of the road asking for food, he rolls down his window. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to tell this story about how much his dad gives. And, you know, his dad always gives to people. He says, my dad rolls down the window. He yells to those people, get a job. A self-professed Christian. And so, you know, how do we consider our health and wealth? You know, one of the things I would say, whenever I go to Bolivia, you know, I went to Bolivia several years on service trips. And anytime I was passing somebody in Bolivia, even if it was just a 5-cent coin, if somebody was asking, I would give something. Because I always considered that they need it more than I do. They need it more than I do. And so maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not just about your material wealth, but the wealth of your time. Do you give that to people? How do you view your wealth? You know, it's not money that's evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And if you think about Moses, if he had stayed, he would have possibly been in the line to be Pharaoh one day. He was the grandson, adopted grandson of Pharaoh. If Pharaoh had stayed, he might have one day had his name in hieroglyphs on a wall. He might have been a great ruler of Egypt. But let me ask you this. How many pharaohs can you name? You know, Jesus said, whatever you give up for me in the gospel, you won't fail to receive 10, 60, or even 100-fold. Moses is one of the most popular men in all of history because he was looking toward a greater glory. And we too ought to be looking toward the greater glory, that of going to heaven. But the thing about making a choice, we're talking about choices that Moses made today. A choice only becomes hard, honestly, if both options are attractive. You know, if my parents are like, hey, or not my parents, I am the parent now. If I say to my kid, you know, hey, Noel, do you want to eat broccoli or pizza? You know, that's going to be a quick decision. You know, do you want to go through a fun experience or a boring one? A fun decision, right? That's easy. The thing about a choice is only hard is if both options are attractive. You'll look at the next slide. Shout out to all my teens in the room. Little Avengers here. The hardest choices require the strongest wills. Now, if you'll consider the source, he's a terrible villain, but that doesn't mean he's wrong. The thing is, you have willpower because of the Spirit of God. Sometimes your willpower is going to fail. Sometimes we're going to blow it. We're going to mess up. I had to call somebody this morning. I was like, bro, I just had some things going this week. And I said, I feel like I can't get up there and preach this morning if I don't get this stuff off my chest. We're going to blow it. We're going to mess up. But the Spirit is going to push you and help you to keep in step with Himself. But the thing is, keeping in step with the Spirit takes practice. It takes being in your Bible. It takes praying to God regularly. It takes getting with people like we talked about earlier and talking about how you're doing spiritually. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I always ask people, if you're an athlete, how often do you think athletes train for their sport in some form or fashion? They do something every day. Whether it's taking basketball shots, whether it's doing the weights in the weight room, whether it's going swimming, maybe whether it's even just having a rest day, they do something every day. Spiritually, it's the same way. While we're on the subject of comic book characters, you know, Superman is probably the most popular superhero. And with the S on his chest, lots of people have speculated if Superman was modeled after Jesus Christ, as if the S means Savior. Actually, the answer is yes and no. So the creators of Superman were guys by the name of Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. The S represented their last names that both started with S. But they were both men of Jewish descent, and actually, they patterned Superman after Moses. Guy who was born somewhere else with someone else and then given to someone else, raised there, and later on went to do these miracles. Superman was patterned after Moses. But I say the answer is yes and no because Moses was just a prefigure of Jesus. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Think about this. After crossing the river, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. After going through the waters of baptism, how many days did Jesus spend in the desert? 40. Jesus gave up the rights and royalty. In Philippians 2, it talks about he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Just like Moses gave up rights and royalty to go be with the people of God. Jesus was called out of Egypt. If you read Matthew 2, right? His parents fled to Egypt for a little time, and then he was called out of Egypt. Just like in Hosea, it says, I called my son out of Egypt when God was referring to the Israelites. And in the same way that Moses led the Israelites through an exodus, in Luke, it talks about when Jesus saw that the time for his departure was near. That word that's translated departure, most often, actually the better word there is when he realized that his exodus was near, he resolutely set out to go to heaven. And so ultimately, when you think about the hard choices that Moses made, Jesus made all those same choices. It all circles back to Jesus, right? Think about Jesus and his relationships, right? Think about Jesus and him denying himself the pleasures of sin, right? And think about Jesus looking towards the joy set before him. He endured the cross and scorned its shame. So my encouragement, my challengement today, I'll leave you with this question. What choice will you make today? As we go throughout our week, every day it's simply a decision of what choice am I going to make today? What choices are you going to make about your relationships? What choices are you going to make about denying yourself sins? What little things can you do to prevent the big things from happening? And what choices are you going to make about looking ahead, about being a citizen of heaven? Amen. I'm so grateful to be a citizen of the United States of America and have a Social Security number and all that. But ultimately, I'm looking ahead to my citizenry, to being in the kingdom of heaven and not getting worried about the things of this world that can pull us from God. So that's my encouragement today. Let's have a great week. I'm just excited to be with you all today. We'll close out with prayer and then we'll be done. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you so much that God, you give us free will, that we're not robots, that we have a choice. But the choice can also be difficult because we have a choice. We can choose to do wrong. Father, I pray that you will empower us with your spirit. Pour out your spirit on this place and help us to be men and women that make wise choices about our relationships. Help us to be men and women that make the choice by the power of the spirit to deny ourselves sin because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And finally, Lord, pour out your spirit in us and help us to look ahead. Help us to see what we don't see through the eyes of the Spirit. So we love you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for giving a guy like Moses who could prefigure the Christ, who is, that S does stand for Savior for us in Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.